Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, and I'm glad you could join us today as we talk about evangelization, talk about discipleship, all things Catholic. And as Catholics, we're very interested in what's happening in the world, obviously. We watch the news. We're a part of society, and the pains and the hurts and the angst, the troubles that the world is going through are also our troubles. In fact, back in Vatican II, that great document, Gaudium et Spes, starts off that way and basically identifies with all of the pain of the world. That's our pain, too, the things that the world is going through. We go through in our own lives also. And there's a principle in the Bible that when one hurts, they all hurt. We all hurt. We're all affected by what happens in the community, and we're certainly all affected by what happens in the body of Christ. And watching the news last night and today, if you're listening to this on a recorded broadcast, this is on Friday, the big news around the country, of course, is related to the Twin Cities. And the young man who was shot, Philando Castile, who was shot in Falcon Heights by an officer, the repercussion of that we saw in Dallas, Texas, in downtown Dallas, just yards away, really, from where President Kennedy was shot. Five officers were ambushed and were killed, and the whole country, of course, is talking about that. We got a crisis on our hand. We got a really difficult situation on our hands right now. And we want to talk about that today. We have a couple of guests. Father John Eckert, he's a chaplain in the Air Force, and he's going to be joining us. He works with men and women who put their lives on the line all the time to protect peace and justice in the world today. And we want to talk about that. At 9:15, we have a very special guest. Our local shepherd, Archbishop Hebda, will join us for a few minutes to talk to us about a very special Mass that's going to take place tonight at the Cathedral in St. Paul. And we'd like to ask our good Archbishop a couple of questions about our response as Catholics and what is going on today. You know, it's a moving thing that is happening because it's life. You know, it's the taking of life. And when we talk about the taking of life, we're not talking about a white police officer. We're not talking about a black man simply. We're talking about real people. That black man may be a brother. He may be a cousin. He might be a son of somebody, you know, that is alive and cares deeply for this individual. A white officer in Dallas is not just a white officer. It could be grandpa. It could be daddy. It could be my brother. And when you start to think of it in those terms, it's, you know, it's not just black and white, so to speak, you know, of an officer or a young man, but it's real people created in the image and likeness of God who have tremendous value, so much value that God so loved them that he gave his only begotten son that they would have life. And we see this battle going on. And so what's our role as Christians? You know, certainly we have opinions and we comment on the news every day. We watch the news and we meet at the water cooler at work and say, well, you know, here's what I think. But don't we really need to know what Jesus thinks? What would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? You've seen those bracelets before. WW, what would Jesus do? WWJD. What would Jesus do? Well, we want to talk about that today. And I do ask you, as the body of Christ, you know, as a fellow layman with you, to pray for the family of Philando Castile, who is obviously grieving tremendously today at the loss of their son. His girlfriend, who was with him in the car, is no doubt in some level of shock today, and the community is in shock. It wasn't in Missouri, it wasn't in L.A., it wasn't in New York, it wasn't in Baltimore, it was here in our backyard that this is taking place. It's the second time that we've had a a situation like this that has caused tremendous pain in the African-American community and the community at large. But I really am interested in what our response is as the body of Christ, and what is the power of prayer? What is the power of reconciliation? What does peace mean in the community today? And what does justice mean today? Archbishop Hebda has sent out a press release this morning about a mass at 5:15 tonight at the cathedral. We'll find out about that in just a few minutes. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, Father John Eckert is going to be joining us. He is the pastor at Holy Trinity, St. Augustine, and also he works in the military. He works with people who put their life on the line every day for peace and for justice in the world. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away. Archbishop Hebda will join us.
Hey everyone, this is Father Rocky, and I'd like to invite you to come down to the Shrine of Christ's Passion in St. John, Indiana. It's not that far away, especially if you plan your travel in advance. It's just south of Gary, Indiana, right off Route 41, and this is the place to be. I've had the fortune of traveling to the Holy Land, and the Shrine of Christ's Passion is the closest you can get to the Passion and Death of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful place to come and pray the Stations of the Cross with the beautiful Church of St. John the Evangelist on the hill and a very beautiful welcoming center in the gift shop. It's called the Shrine of Christ's Passion. Life-size statues cast in bronze, really works of art. And you can listen to the story and pray the Station of the Cross as you go along. Make an effort to get down there, bring your friends, and tell everybody about it. It's called the Shrine of Christ's Passion, and you can find out more about it by calling them at 1-855-277-SHRINE. 1-855-277-SHRINE.
I want to wake up. I want to open my eyes. Take the shades up. Pull the sun from the sky. Step out in faith and step into something new. See what awaits and trust what isn't shown.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins with you. Joining me today on the Rediscover Hour is one of our own here in the Twin Cities, a wonderful man of God. I've known him for years. He is in the Air Force as a chaplain and spends quite a bit of his time dealing with the situation of men and women, your sons, your daughters, your brother, your sister, who are putting their lives on the line to protect something. And it isn't just borders and land, but it's to protect freedom. It's to protect peace and to protect justice in the world today. And I think sometimes we think that people who wear a uniform, whether it be the military or our local law enforcement people, that they are somehow superhuman and that they are immune from any of these difficulties that we face. But they are the same as us, and they are brave. I saw this morning the Dallas chief of police. He was talking about how these officers in Dallas ran into the line of fire to protect people. They put their lives on the line to protect people. That's a special kind of a person, you know? That's a special kind of a person. And here in the Twin Cities, of course, we're dealing with the other side of this spectrum, where we have a young African-American boy, Philando Castile, who was shot in his car, and the community is outraged. So what is our response? Father Eckert, welcome to the Rediscover Hour. We're kind of shifting gears a little bit today.
Sure. It's great to be with you, Jeff.
You know, you have worked in just a few minutes. Archbishop Hebda is going to join us to talk about a special mass tonight. But you work with people that put the uniform on every day in our military and put their lives on the line. Who are these people?
It's a great question. And as you noted, they are sons and daughters, brothers and sisters, spouses, husbands, wives. Probably everybody listening to this radio broadcast either has a family member or relative or friends who are serving in the military. You know, I've been in the military since 1975, not as a chaplain, but started out active duty enlisted. And, you know, in those days, it was the Cold War, and military deaths were probably more attributed to training accidents and so on. But, gosh, in these past past 20 years, really, in the 90s and then especially post 9/11, being in the military is a dangerous matter. And our military troops have deployed, many of them, multiple times. Myself, I've had 4 deployments, 2 to the desert and 2 to the casualty hospital in Europe. And so I've gotten very close to the troops. I do, as a Catholic chaplain, what Catholic priests would do for the military. But more broadly than that, chaplains minister and assist our troops in many other ways. And I got to tell you, Jeff, people in uniform, whether it's military, police, firefighters, other sorts of responders, first responders, we have a certain bond. You know, the mission of the military is primarily to go to war against foreign enemies, although more and more we're working with local authorities and first responders, anticipating incidents such as what happened, you know, yesterday. But we feel a certain bond and feel that loss. We all feel it, but people in uniform really feel it for that shared service and sacrifice and the dangers that we face.
As a chaplain, what's your advice for people and how to pray for the current situation?
Well, as a chaplain, as a Catholic chaplain, of course, we believe in prayers for the dead. So we should pray for those who have died in service, or the innocents who have died one way or another, for the repose of their souls and for their families that are grieving. You know, probably the hardest thing that we do as military chaplains is to deliver death notifications and to assist in that process. And these are almost always untimely deaths of military members, perhaps serving overseas, died in the service of country. And the shock of that and the ongoing effect of that is so, so heavy on families and friends. When we deliver that notification, we know those lives are changed forever. The spouses, the siblings, family and friends. And so it's just, you know, as a priest, I work with death, but as a military chaplain, untimely death, such as military members, in this case, police officers, that is just a shock, and the ripples never end.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is? We're waiting momentarily here for Archbishop Hebda to join us, but what do you think is different about the death of a police officer, for example, the 5 in Dallas, that really sets the community back? There's something different about it, the people who put their lives on the line and their life is taken.
Yeah, I think what happens is we recognize that these are individuals who have pledged their lives to protect us, and there seems such an incredible injustice in the matter of having someone, especially in such a senseless act of violence, have their lives taken. I think what it is we feel, everyone feels a bond in that case, and we're drawn into it and are able to empathize and sympathize with the families and others of those officers.
I know that a little bit later on in the broadcast, we want to talk about freedom. We just finished the 4th of July, and every year we celebrate the 4th of July. And of course, we remember the fireworks and the picnics and the family get-togethers and so forth. But there's something behind that that is very meaningful and deep, and that is the freedom that we enjoy here in America. But that freedom is not something that we can just spend on anything we want. Freedom is for a purpose. We are free to serve God. I want to talk about that with you also. How many men and women do you work with in the Twin Cities?
Well, in the Twin Cities, our base strength is over 1,000. And, there are multiple bases and units spread throughout the state. We have some major operations out at the Twin Cities Airport. We have a major air base up in Duluth. And then the Army is pretty much scattered across Minnesota. The total strength for the Guard itself, both Army and Air, is between 12 and 13,000 in mm-hmm. the state. And that doesn't include reserve and other components. So even though we're not as visible as in some states that have active duty bases, major bases, we're quite active. Mm-hmm. You'll hear our airplanes, the C-130s, and see them flying overhead almost daily on training missions and real-world missions as well.
One of the topics that in preparation for the show this morning, I'm sitting literally at the kitchen table and thinking about what's happened in Dallas and what's happened here in the Twin Cities. It brought my mind immediately to martyrdom in the Bible, you know, in that officers in Dallas put their lives on the line to protect freedom, justice, peace, and they ended up giving their life for that. And we as Christians too, you know, that you look at the martyrs and some of the saints in the history of the church who gave their lives. They gave their lives for something. They gave their lives for Christ. And I'm reminded of what Paul said, you know, to the Galatians, that it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. And he set us free to be free and to walk in the graces of God. And there's been a price that's been paid by a number of people, not only with uniforms, but those who carried the cross.
You know, Jeff, the word you use, martyr or martyrdom, I think that's part of what explains why people feel so deeply and passionately about the loss of, let's say, a first responder or somebody in the military. You know, there are many analogies between religion and service, whether that be in the military, but especially in the military, and other responders. You know, we swear an oath under God to serve to the point of knowing we might lose our lives. And even though among those who have died, we don't necessarily know what their religious preferences or practices were, there is that, by analogy at least, that sense of martyrdom. Somebody died on behalf of a noble cause. In this case, they died in order to protect the community.
And that strikes a chord deep in our hearts when that happens.
Absolutely. And you know, there's a saying, the blood of the martyr is the seed of the church. Martyrdom in the church, far from crushing it, actually became an occasion for growth. And so too, things like this pull a community and even a nation together. So while a terrorist or a criminal might want to destroy and create chaos, in the longer run, it actually can occasion a strengthening of a community and even a nation.
Wow, that's a good insight. What you just said there really speaks to my heart, and that is in the early church when those who were innocent died for the cause of Christ, it had an impact on the church, and that impact was not to hide and to fold, but it was growth. It actually caused growth. How would you equate that with what's happening here in the Twin Cities and around the country with this issue of the police officers and the African-American community?
Definitely. It creates a certain almost familial bond that we feel with other members of our community. And again, it draws us in. We see the nobility of the human spirit, that there are people out there who will literally give their lives in a sense to protect us, to ensure that we have the freedoms that are so important to us. And so, again, these things don't cause, evil acts don't cause good, but they become occasions for good people to bring good out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God expects us to do. Good should always trump evil. And God can give us the grace and the power to trump evil.
Thank you. Talking to Father John Eckert, he is with the Air Force. He's a chaplain with the Air Force. Joining us right now, we're very blessed to have our local shepherd and leader, His Excellency, Archbishop Hebda. Welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Good morning, Jeff.
Thank you so much for joining us. We have been talking, Archbishop, about what's happened in the Twin Cities with Philando Castile and his family, and of course what happened yesterday in Dallas, Texas. There seems to be an awful lot going on, and people are confused. And we were mentioning that the joys and the hopes, the griefs and the anxieties of the men of this age, especially those who are poor or in any way afflicted, these are the joys and the hopes, the griefs and the anxieties of the followers of Christ. And Archbishop, we would love to have your insight into what is happening right now. What should be the response of the church? I know you have a very special Mass tonight that we want to let people know about. But what's your response, Archbishop, to what's going on?
It's certainly very sad, Jeff. And as you mentioned, Christ is always close to those who are in need, those who suffer. Pope Francis continuously reminds us of how important it is that we as church go out to those who are in need, that we be that balm of healing that people need, and that we try as best we can to bring Christ and his consolation, his peace into difficult situations. And so that's certainly our hope as a church. And I've certainly been encouraging people here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul to lift this up in prayer, certainly to be praying for Philando Castile and for his family and loved ones, but also to just pray for our society, for our communities, that we might be places of peace, that we might be a place where the dignity of each human life is respected, where we come to know each other as sons and daughters of God and recognize that image of God within each of us.
Mm-hmm. Now you are holding celebrating a very special Mass this evening. If you could give us some information on that. And it's really surrounding the themes of peace and justice.
Yes, exactly, Jeff. It's the liturgy that the Church has prepared for situations like this, any time where we have to be praying for peace and for justice. And certainly both of those, both peace and justice are involved in our situation here in the Twin Cities. Paul VI is always quoted as saying, if you want peace, work for justice. So we certainly have to be mindful of both of those.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Missal, the Church offers us a number of prayers for various needs, and so that's really what we will be using is the text already prepared by the Universal Church. Those prayers are prayed all over the world in circumstances like this. We'll also be praying for the unity of our community, and that we might be able to really bring that the balm of Christ's love into this difficult situation, and really try as best we can to alleviate some of the pain.
Sure.
That's so present.
Your Excellency, when we talk about justice, inform us as Catholics, how do we define that? What are we working toward when we say we want justice?
Well, I think certainly we want to give to each person what is their due, but we go beyond that as well. And as we strive to really recognize that each of us is created in the image and likeness of God, that there's that image of God within each of us, there has to be a respect, regardless of race, of religion, regardless of profession, that we have to be able to see one another as sons and daughters of God, and that has to be the foundation of our relationships. But certainly to be able to treat people equally, equality is a big part of that justice, of giving to each what is their due.
Mm-hmm.
And so we certainly want to be able to promote that, but in that context of that of recognition of the dignity of each human life and how it is that God creates each of us with a purpose in mind.
I thank you for that insight, and just one more question, a little direction from you. How do we pray today as the members of God's household here in the Twin Cities? How do we pray for Philando Castile's family and friends, and also the family and friends of the officers in Dallas?
Yes. No, I think it's so important, first of all, that we be authentic in our prayer, so that we allow the Lord to know what's in our hearts, that the anguish that's there, perhaps the anxiety that's there, whatever it is, to open up our hearts in a way that's authentic, so that we're able to really enter into that prayer. And for each one of us, that's going to be a little bit different. And I obviously we're having Mass this evening at the cathedral, but those kinds of prayers are taking place in not only Catholic churches but all over this area, all over this country, as people of faith open up their hearts to the Lord and really ask for His help, His guidance, to do the impossible, really,
mm-hmm.
In the sense of bringing peace to a very difficult situation.
Now, that Mass is going to be taking place at 5:15 tonight at the Cathedral in St. Paul, and everyone's invited, right?
Yes, as they are every day.
Sure. Well, I appreciate that. And Archbishop, thank you for the leadership that you're providing at this time in the Twin Cities, And really encourage people to follow and to enter into prayer as the body of Christ. There's tremendous power in our prayers when we join together, isn't there?
I believe that. That's why it's so important that we remember to pray in situations like this. As I was reading the transcript from the video that was broadcast on Wednesday night, and even hearing the references to Jesus at that time, we realize that it's when we're most in need that we how important it is that we turn to the Lord and we ask for His help.
Amen. Well, thank you for joining us today. It's always a treat for us to have you, and it's great to have your leadership at a time like this. So thank you.
Well, Jeff, thank you for helping this discussion along and for helping us to recall the importance of prayer. Thank you.
Amen. It's Archbishop Bernard Hebda. He's our local ordinary, and he's calling us to pray today for the family of Philando Castile, as well as in Dallas, Texas, what's happening there. This is our response as Catholics, is to pray, and to pray in the name of Jesus, and to pray for justice and to pray for peace. Once again, that's 5:15 tonight, Mass at the Cathedral of St. Paul. You're invited. Tell your friends about it. Take a moment right now to just text maybe a couple of people and say, guys, there's Mass at 5:15 at the Cathedral tonight. Can you get out of work just a little bit early and join the Archbishop in praying for the situation that we find ourselves in here in the Twin Cities? The spotlight is on us in the Twin Cities. Our response is one of love. Our response is one of it's Jesus, it's peace, it's justice, and we're going to work in solidarity with those communities that have been affected. We're going to take a break right now, and when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with Father John Eckert. He is with the Air Force. He's a chaplain. We're going to talk about freedom. We're going to talk about justice, and we're going to talk about the lives of those who have put their lives on the line to protect it. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, it's Rob Dubell from Grove Builders, your local exterior remodeling company. Have you been affected by the severe weather this summer? Maybe you've just noticed that you need a new roof but don't know who to trust. Or your siding may have taken a hit and the number of options these days has kept you from making a decision. If you'd like a worry-free roof right away, or have the options of new siding, windows, or doors explained to you so you can make a good decision, you can call us at Grove Builders. We are a trusted, licensed, local company serving the entire Twin Cities area. Grove Builders, we are a certified installer with GAF and Atlas Roof products. We have the knowledge and training to install your roof with the most protection for you and your family. We've helped several Relevant Radio listeners. We are honest and reliable with the best warranty in the industry for all of our products. You can find us at grove-builders.com or give us a call at 763-229-0923. We'll have your roof and siding done right and quickly. 763-229-0923.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Interesting times that we live in, critical times that we live in right now, especially in the Twin Cities with what happened to Philando Castile, and we want to pray for him. We just moments ago heard from Archbishop Hebda, who announced that tonight at 5:15 there's going to be a special Mass, a very special Mass. It's not a regular Mass. It's a Mass that is actually developed and constructed for the purpose of what we're facing right now in the Twin Cities. It's for peace and it's for justice. And he's invited you to join him at 5:15 at the Cathedral tonight. If you work till 5 and you say, well, I can't get down there, check on getting out a little bit early. You know, let's show some solidarity. This is in the context of the Mass. It's the center of prayer in our life. It doesn't get any more center than the Mass for us. So I think that Archbishop is sending a message out not only to the faithful, but he's sending a message out to the entire community that we hear you and we're here with you. Once again, it reminds me of those words from Gaudium et Spes, the Church in the Modern World from Vatican II, 1965. The joys and the hopes, the griefs, and the anxieties of the men of this age, especially those who are poor or in any way afflicted, these are the joys and the hopes and the griefs and the anxieties of the followers of Christ. In other words, there's a solidarity there. Joining us is Father John Eckert. We were talking prior to visiting with Archbishop Hebda. And Father Eckert, your comments on what Archbishop has said to us.
I'm so grateful for the words of the Archbishop and for the tangible support through the offering of the Mass this evening, and echo what you've said, Jeff, about those who can be there. How wonderful. And it's something very real that we can do. And, you know, off air, you and I were discussing this. As a military chaplain, the hardest folks for me to help, or for chaplains to help, are those who really don't have faith, some religious practice. Because when something very difficult happens, there's really not an answer that would satisfy them. And yet they're still looking for answers. So I see this especially in times of stress and duress, such as on deployments, when troops are uprooted from family and homeland and facing danger, and sometimes they face a terrible loss. I mean, there are troops who are deployed who lose a child back home through some accidental death or whatever, and are searching for some kind of a meaning or understanding. On the other hand, the flip side, the people that chaplains are able to help the most, and I as a Catholic chaplain in particular, would be those who have faith, and especially the Christian faith. Because even while when we suffer something terribly, such as the families of the innocent who have died in all of this, are searching for answers and so on, sometimes you can't give them the perfect answer. But, you know, we as Christians, we can point to the cross. I'm looking at a cross right now here in the studio, and point to the cross and say, there is an answer. Mm-hmm. There's something mysterious going on here, something that's very terrible that we would never wish or will. But there is an answer, and somehow the cross itself, therein lies the answer.
Well, there is something very mystical, I'll say, and very powerful about one man or one woman giving their life for a cause like freedom, for justice, for peace. And when that innocent person dies for such a cause, it sparks something in all of our hearts. And I think that we saw this with the officer in Mendota Heights last year. We see this in Dallas, Texas. We certainly have felt this in the lives of the martyrs in the history of the church. But I'm also reminded of the fact that this really is brought down to our level too, isn't it, Father? Where in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, you know, Luke writes and he says that you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And that word witness, as a Christian, you shall be witnesses, is the Greek word martys, where we get the word martyr. It's the witness of Christ. And these early believers, and I would dare say us too, we really should have this same mindset, they were brought face-to-face daily from the beginning of their apostolate with the possibility of incurring severe punishment or even death for the cause that they were standing for. And St. Stephen, of course, is a great witness in early Christian history. And his testimony was sealed with his blood when he gave his life, and he became a saint. We too, on a daily basis, we might not put the uniform on, but we too can lay our lives down for these things as well, can't we?
We can, and you know, let me tell a little true story. In fact, I might have heard this on Relevant Radio many years ago. It was a rebroadcast of a condemned man at Auschwitz who was pulled out of the ranks with 10 others to be executed because someone had escaped from Auschwitz, and that was the punishment. And he was pulled forth, innocent of anything, to die, and he cried out, you know, for the sake of my wife and children, please let me live. And that's when, as we know, St. Maximilian Kolbe stepped forward and said, let me take his place. And no doubt divine providence was at work here, because easily the commandant could have had them all executed, but he allowed the man to return to the ranks, and St. Maximilian Kolbe died in his place. Now, in this broadcast that I heard, it was that man, you know, much, much later in life, you know, 50 years later or so, telling that story in detail. And his point was, and he said this over and over again to anyone who would listen, he said, I dedicated the rest of my life to telling this story that that man died so that I could live. And he went on to be a grandfather and so on. So I see that in terms of Christ and evangelization. That individual on the cross died so that I might live. And, you know, by extension, we can say that about those who serve, whether it's in the military or as responders and so on. That person died mm-hmm. so that we can live.
I want to talk a little bit. We're talking with Father John Eckert. He is the pastor over at Holy Trinity, St. Augustine. That's a combined parish, isn't it? Kind of.
It is. For my first years there, we were two separate parishes, mm-hmm. and so they're twos of everything.
Yeah.
If you like meetings, it's great. If you don't, you know, two parish councils, two finance committees, two everything. And so we've become one parish, and we merged very successfully because we worked towards that for a number of years. And now we're one happy community down in South St. Paul.
As far as being a military chaplain, are you one of a kind in the Twin Cities here?
There are a few others. We have an Air Force Reserve chaplain. We have two Catholic Army chaplains serving in the National Guard. Up in Duluth, we have a Catholic Air Force chaplain. And there's also an Army Reserve chaplain who serves in the state. So there are about maybe 8 or 9 of us Catholic priests from various dioceses serving.
What determines if you're going to be deployed? Is that something that the military says we're calling you up, or do they have to work in conjunction with the archdiocese?
Well, it varies from branch to branch and component to component. Now, in order to serve as a Catholic military chaplain, what happens is an individual priest would approach his archbishop or bishop or religious superior seeking permission to serve. And if that's granted, then the archbishop grants permission to the military archdiocese, which is not geographical, but it's the archdiocese over all military individuals, grants the permission to them. And then that chaplain is endorsed by the military and archdiocese, and if he can qualify to be an officer in the military, and then he's commissioned. So all priests, ultimately, while we're on loan, if you will, to either active or reserve or guard components of some branch of the service, we all ultimately come from a diocese or a religious order. And in my experience, because there's such a desperate need for Catholic chaplains in all branches. In fact, you know, they'll let us stay to age 67 mm-hmm. If we can still physically qualify. That's almost unheard of in the military because you're an old man by then, you know, by military standards. But the Air Force, for instance, recognizing the shortage of Catholic priests out there in the civilian world, was always very good in working with individual Catholic chaplains on deployments so that in the case of reserve and guard, there'd be it'd be less disruptive, whether it's the length of time or when the deployments came. So throughout the whole dozen years following 9/11, at least as far as the Air Guard, to which I'm serving now and belong, the Air Guard always had enough Catholic chaplain volunteers that they never had to force a deployment on any one of us individually.
Okay. So this last week, on Monday, we celebrated the 4th of July here in the United States. It's a very popular holiday, fireworks, the picnic with the family, the whole thing, grandkids around the lake. What goes through your mind as a military chaplain, and what do you think goes through the mind of people who are active in the military about that particular holiday?
Well, you know, I've been in the Air Force in one component or another for nearly all of the last 41 years. 18 right out of high school, I went active duty Air Force, and except for 4 years during my seminary period, have been in some component of the Air Force, most of which has been as a chaplain intern and now chaplain for the past 20 so years. So I feel a deep sense of patriotism in the best sense of that word. That is a love of fatherland. And, you know, the word patriot has the word pater, Latin for father, in it. And that is a virtue. The Catholic Church teaches that patriotism is a virtue. So I love my country, and I would die in service of my country. But Jeff, I also have mixed feelings. I have to be honest, because patriotism shouldn't be blind mm-hmm. To the sins of our nation, the failings as well. And if we're blind to that, then it becomes more like nationalism or something that's not a virtue.
Sure.
You know. So I always feel the mixture of gratitude to God, and this is what Christians should do that much of the country may not do on the July 4th. And always, first of all, we should be grateful to God because for all the blessings that we enjoy, including the blessings of freedom, that comes from God. So I'm not grateful to government first. I'm grateful to God first. And also as a Catholic, as a Christian, I think it's important for us to continue to give witness in our own lives to what are true Christian values and morals. And also it falls to us, because who else will do it, to put to prayer a conversion of hearts and minds for those areas where our nation has failed.
We're talking with Father John Eckert, and we're talking about freedom, and we're also talking about what's happened here in the Twin Cities in Falcon Heights yesterday with the shooting of Philando Castile. And the whole country is in an uproar about it. In fact, that's what Dallas, Texas, those people in Dallas, Texas were responding to with a peaceful protest. And five officers were killed in the context of that demonstration in Dallas. And by the way, if you just joined us, Archbishop Hebda was on the show earlier, and he announced that at 5:15 tonight at the cathedral, he's holding a very special Mass for peace and justice in response to the shooting in Falcon Heights, and the prayers. He's asking for prayers for the family of Philando Castile, and he is inviting you to join him. So send that text message out to your friends and let them know there is a special Mass at 5:15 at the cathedral. You know, Father, when we originally scheduled you to come on the show, it was after the 4th of July. We were talking about freedom. And I want to run this by you and get the church's take on freedom and your take on freedom, and that is this. I'm going to juxtapose your view with a common view out there, and that is this. Father, you know, I'm an American. I'm living in a democracy. I've got freedom. I've got rights. And freedom to me means I can do anything I want. What do you say?
All right. I'm glad you brought that up. You know, one of my favorite saints is St. Thomas More. You know, who stuck with the church when King Henry VIII broke. And he died a martyr, executed because he wouldn't compromise. And he died saying, "I die the king's good servant, but God's first." And so when it comes to freedom and rights, those come from God. They come from God. And because we're accustomed to a republic and a democracy, we can get clouded and start to think that because a government or some organization establishes some laws or practices or policies and rights that go along with those, because it comes from that level of authority, that therefore that is acceptable or may be right. But the fact is, no authority other than God himself would have a right to establish rights, privileges, or laws that are counter to the divine plan and rights. You know, and let me give you a case in point where I had to face this recently, and where we have conflicting rights. And if they're conflicting rights, one is a wrong and one is a right. All right. In this case, we chaplains, we offer retreats for families and couples and singles. Okay, we mm-hmm. do this on a regular basis, and they're wonderful. They're professionally developed.
Is
programs.
It retreats for military?
Yes, for military, and they're not strictly speaking religious, but they're to help strengthen bonds, for instance, of marriage. So now, because of our federal mandates and laws and state laws, when we have same-sex couples who can legally marry, by law, the military must protect the rights, so-called, of same-sex couples, whatever military benefits heterosexual couples would have. So for the first time, we faced a situation where we had a same-sex couple sign up for a marriage retreat. Okay. Well, there's a conflict here now because the purpose of the retreat is to strengthen their bond, okay, their marriage. In good conscience, I can't do that as a leader and presenter in this matter. The military also recognizes my right to say no to that. So here you have conflicting rights. The rights of that same-sex couple to that retreat, the right of a chaplain to say no to it. Well, in God's eyes, are they both rights? No. You know, but this is what's happening in the country and where we find conflicting rights. You know, abortion, a woman's so-called right to take the life of her child. Obviously, it's not a right, it's a wrong, because the innocent child has the right to life. So we're facing things that I couldn't have imagined, you know, when I was growing up 50 years ago or so. And this is where it's so important for Catholics to know the faith and to not get clouded on this issue of freedom. Freedom ultimately is the freedom given by God to do the right thing. And there are liberties that go with that, but not license. And St. Paul dealt with that, as you know, like at Corinth and so on, where they had some of the same issues we have today, that taking liberty to license.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Paul said it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, do not return to a yoke of bondage. And I think that we find ourselves either in bondage or freedom. We're kind of in that vast wasteland in between where we're not doing anything. But in our lives, we need to look at the freedom that Christ has given us. It's really a freedom, isn't it, Father, to do right?
Oh, absolutely. It's a freedom to do right. And that's where the person is ultimately happy. And may not realize this, but true happiness comes in doing the right thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about just passing pleasures. We're talking about true happiness. God designed us. God created us. God knows us. And when we follow his commandments, and as I recall, the readings for this weekend for the Sunday Masses are, the first one is are the Ten Commandments. You know, those are not to enslave us, but to free us, to live to the full potential.
I want to reiterate a couple of things if you just joined us. One is that, and we're talking with Father John Eckert, is that tonight at 5:15, there's going to be a special Mass, and Archbishop Hebda is going to be presiding at the cathedral. He's inviting you, my friends, to join him in the Mass, and the focus of it is for peace and justice and special prayers for the family of Philando Castile, the young man who was shot in his car with his girlfriend in Falcon Heights. And I want to just encourage you to text a couple of people today and remind them about that. And this might be an opportunity for them to come together and join in prayer. Another thing I want to remind you of on the Rediscover Hour today is that coming up this fall is the new class for the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute. And this year, it's going to be the class of St. Teresa, Mother Teresa. And that's going to be a very special class. And we have close to 1,500 people who have graduated now from this two-year formation program at the seminary. And it's really going to be a great opportunity. And Father, I got to get you teaching over there.
I got to tell you a little Mother Teresa story. I was studying in Rome and had been asked to offer Mass for Mother Teresa and her small community in Rome Christmas morning.
Well.
And I went over there. I'm thinking, what do you say to Mother Teresa? How do you preach to Mother Teresa? And I went over there, and God bless her, she'd been hospitalized the night before on a heart condition, so I missed my one chance.
Oh, you missed.
To meet and to preach to Mother Teresa.
Well, that class is going to be starting up in September, the class of St. Teresa of Calcutta. And you can find out more information. There's room left. There's room left. It's been extended to the end of July. You can go to CI Student. That's for Catechetical Institute, cistudent.com, to sign up for the Catechetical Institute this fall. If you've been thinking about it, take the step. You're not going to regret it. You're going to be subject to some of the best teaching in this archdiocese, great priests. Bishop Cousins is one of the teachers. We've got some great priests. We're going to bring Father Eckert in. I just know that. We're going to talk about it right after the show because he's a Bible scholar, and he's one of the best that I know. And we're gonna rope him in, and you can join Father Eckert this year at the Catechetical Institute. That's cistudent.com. Also, go to archspm.org. to find out more about Catholic Watchmen for men and wine for women. It's women in the new evangelization. Father, we got about a minute left. What would you say to the good people of the Twin Cities about what's happening in Falcon Heights and in Dallas?
Well, folks, I mean, maybe this is it's symptomatic of what's happening nationally. We're in some troubled times, and we know it, and we feel the weight of that. So as Catholics, let's keep these things in our prayers. As Catholics, let's continue in our own circumstances and roles to witness to Christ and the Church, the love of God for us, and let's keep our nation in prayers, and if you're inclined, maybe even do some penance on behalf of our nation to God, to ask the Lord to shower down grace, not just material blessings, but grace upon our nation.
Good word, good word. 5:15 Mass tonight, Friday, with Archbishop Hebda for Peace and Justice. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Father, thanks for joining us. It's always good to talk to you.
It's always good to talk to you. We did this about 15 years ago, I think, on a television program, and so it's good to be back.
I think we did. That was down south in Alabama. That's right. We'll be back in just a moment with all the announcements of things that are happening in the Archdiocese. This is the Rediscover Hour.
Rediscover.
I'm Dr. James Kohler, and at my practice, we are ready to correct and improve dental issues that you've maybe put off having corrected. We are now in our expanded offices that will allow us to offer even more convenient appointment times. We can fix many dental problems in just one day, and our experienced staff delivers modern dental techniques comfortably. There's no need to wait any longer. Come see us in North St. Paul. Appointments are available this week. Call 651-777-6454 or relevantradio.com, keyword dentist.
James Kohler Family Dentistry, a gentle and caring staff that can help patients of all ages. They accept most dental insurance and are competitively priced for those without coverage. Convenient to St. Paul and the surrounding area. Dr. Kohler's office can be reached at 651-777-6454 or relevantradio.com, keyword dentist.
But I see.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Of course, we are praying today at 5:15 at the Cathedral with Archbishop Hebda for peace and justice. And Paul, there's a lot of other things happening
there
as well.
There are other things going on, too. All young adults ages 18 to 35 are invited to Theology on Tap, presented by the Cathedral of St. Paul Young Adults. Connect with others for an evening of food, fellowship, and faith at O'Gara's in St. Paul, Wednesday, July 13th. Social hour, 6:30 to 7:30. Speaker begins at 7:30 p.m. This Wednesday, come here. Pat Malaya, Director of High School Faith Formation and Confirmation at St. Michael Catholic Church, speak on the crisis of manhood. For more information, visit the events page at archspm.org or cathedralstpaul.org/CYA.
Northeast Theology at the Pub is an evangelization initiative for all and is brought to you through Holy Cross Catholic Church. Theology at the Pub will bring theology to the bar this Tuesday, July 12th at Stanley's in Northeast Minneapolis. The theme will be How to Talk to God 101 with guest Father Troy Prisbilla. For more information, visit www.ourholycross.org.
Twin Cities St. Paul Street Evangelization is hitting the road. Join them at the 2016 Hopkins Raspberry Festival in Hopkins, Minnesota, Saturday, July 16th, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Sunday, the 17th, from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. That's on the front lawn of St. Gabriel the Archangel Catholic Church. Sign up for a 60 to 90 minute visit, a 90 minute shift to spread the good news of the gospel and share your Catholic faith. For more information, visit streetevangelization.com/Minnetonka
Father Joseph Gillespie invites you to St. Albert the Great Parish on Sunday, July 17th at 1 p.m. for their summer jazz concert featuring the versatile Connie Evingson and John Weber.
Connie's great.
Is she?
She is.
She's the host of NPR's Piano Jazz with John Weber. The cost is $15 at the door. For more information, visit stalberthegreat.org.
Nativity Grandparents Apostolate is celebrating its 5th anniversary and the Feast of Saints Joachim and Anne. All grandparents are invited to an event of prayer, enrichment, discussion, and fellowship, highlighted by a presentation entitled The Church Saved Me by Mrs. Mary McClure, a teacher, mother, and grandmother. The event takes place at Steiner Hall at Nativity of Our Lord in St. Paul, Tuesday, July 26th, 8:45 a.m. Refreshments will be served. For more information, contact the parish office, 651-696-5401. And what is coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour?
Well, Paul, next week on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear from Father David Bloom. He's the Vocations Director for the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. That's the guy who has his eye on more priests and religious. Father Bloom will join us to talk about the upcoming Totus Tuus Vocation Day for Young Men and Daughters of God Retreat. That's coming up in August. That's next on the Rediscover Hour. Keep praying, and once again, remember, 5:15 tonight at the Cathedral Mass with the Archbishop for Peace and Justice.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.